Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. As we have been studying the book of Colossians, the whole book of Colossians, we've come through some powerful teaching given to us by the Apostle Paul. What God has given him to do and given him as he wrote to the church there in Colossae. And when Paul found out the wonder and the grace of God which had come to that little group, Paul was so excited about them. Paul understood that what Epaphras told him, that it was the truth, what God did and what he had done in many other places, and what Paul had witnessed as he had taken the gospel out into the world. So Paul heard about this church, and he was really moved. But Paul, by the very inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had a word for them to have them to continue in walking in the way that they should. And he knew this is what he should do, because the Holy Spirit was the one that gave Paul the task of strengthening the church. When we say the Holy Spirit, we know Jesus Christ is the one. This is his church, Christ's church, and he wanted them to stand firmly. So that man that he sent to take the gospel out into the world was the Apostle Paul. He sent them to them by a letter to tell them what to do. We've come through two whole chapters of this book, and we've seen what Paul has done. If you read over this any time during the time we was going into, you can see the powerful things that have been taught by Paul. The powerful things that has been done in the life of Christians by Jesus Christ himself and his death on the cross, and even what made of new people because of his very spirit that was in him. This third chapter is a wonderful chapter. It is the motivation and principles of the Christian life, which Paul now talks on. Remember the first two verses, he comes to the whole idea of salvation, how it took place, what was done, what Christ did in his death, and how he has destroyed principalities and authorities, and now there's no one above him. No one above him in the whole world, all governments, whatever, have no control over Christ. And what he's done, he has raised up a people that are outside of all governments and principalities that is powerful, more powerful than anything upon the face of the earth. And that is his church. And he calls that his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so in the midst of all these kingdoms on the world, there's one kingdom that stands mightier than the rest of them. And it is God's kingdom, which is God's church. Now we see it in time and space as little groups of people or large groups of people in different areas of the world. But these people are drawn together. They are attached to one another by what God has done with them and in them. So Paul, in this third chapter, he's now saying now, after he's given all the truth and all the theological teaching of what has taken place, he tells them now, look at yourself. He wants them to see and understand who they are and what has been done before them. And so we found out, as we looked at the first four verses, what the apostle does is he tells them what has taken place in them and that they are new creatures now in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 5 all the way down, this very chapter, and the very truth of this chapter is all the way down to the first four verses in chapter 4. And he now takes upon him what he's going to do. We've looked at verse 5, where we're in this very segment, which is called Basic Motivations and Principles of the Christian Life. And this is what we see and understand is taking place here. And so what we find out here as we move down, we looked at those, first of all, abandoning the vices of the old life we saw in verses, which goes from verses 5 to 3. 11, I'm sorry. And then you see that the sins of desires were the first thing that Paul dealt with in verse 5. Then he has two asides, two theological teaching that he brought to us in verses 6 and 7. And then he deals with sins of disunity. First, he deals with sins of desires, and we found out that's all the things that is basically in you and me that we have to fight. We came out of the world and into the kingdom of God. We had to fight all those sins of desires. And then he takes up sins of disunity, and he dealt with that too. How people were getting along with one another before they got saved. All kinds of wrangling and fighting and bickering with one another. But Paul says they all should be put aside. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. But now Paul picks up in verse 9b to verse 11, and what he have here, continuing on, abandoning the vices of the old life. But he has here for us some particular theological facts that he brings now, that each and every one of the people of God all over, from the time that Paul wrote this into the time that Jesus Christ come back, they will find themselves looking at these verses and understanding who they are and what has taken place in them. Paul says here, abandoning the vices of the old life. Now, you and I, we came into the world with sinners. We lived as sinners for a period of time, whatever the time was that God came and brought grace to us, up until that particular time. We just lived for ourselves. We did what we wanted to do. We were satisfied in how we lived. We committed all kinds of sins, and made ourselves realize it wasn't so bad what we did, because there's others around that's worse than we are. But now Paul wants us to look at ourselves here with these particular facts that he's given us and show us that this is what we ought to do at this point. And we pick up the reading in verse 9, and I want to read the whole verse, but it's only the second part of verse 9. And read verse 9 down to verse 11. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. Paul stops. He told them what not to do. Do not lie to one another. And then he gives the facts here. And this is the reason why. And each one of these facts should lay up to us today and cause us to be able to say, there's no reason for me to do any of those sins which this body is trying to drag me into, because I have power over them. As we come to the first one, as we find in the theological fact in verse 9b, he says, as we read there, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Paul is making it clear that the work of salvation has caused a complete change in the lives of the brethren. He does so by presenting these facts here. He said, since you laid aside here, though it seems that it's something that Paul is saying here, which you and I must look at and they must look at. The thought is similar to the phrase we have in verse 8. Look at verse 8. It says, but now you also put them all aside. But Paul says you laid aside, and the word here has a different meaning. It's a stronger sense to the meaning. It means to strip or to put off, or to strip off power or authority, to take away power. And Paul is saying, when he says you laid aside, he's not putting some picture in your mind or some gently laying something down, but he's putting all the force behind it. You have stripped this off. You've taken it away. The word is used in the second chapter of Colossians. Turn over to verse 15 and notice what the apostle says there, speaking of the Jesus Christ. Let's pick it up at verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And notice what he said. This is what he did. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Notice here, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed all of them. Now that word disarmed in verse 15 is the same word we have here in our verse. He had disarmed. So he's saying, but the Greek words mean that you stripped the rulers and authority is what Paul is saying. And so here he says, you have stripped, you've laid aside, you have destroyed the power of the old self. That man, woman, boy, and girl who we were before we got saved and how we lived in our sins, you have actually destroyed that. You have taken the power and authority of that which had its power over you, and you have disarmed it, taken it away. The sinful nature or the unregenerate period nature prior to salvation, Paul is saying that the brother stripped off the controlling power of sin that was functioning in their sin nature. They stripped it off. Paul is not saying you actually in some kind of way kind of moved up close to it and say, you know, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to be able to do this. And I'm trying my best to do that. Paul says, no, vigorously with power, you actually destroyed the strength of sin. Paul said, what you've done, you've laid it aside. But he says, and notice what he says here. He said, what you've done, since you laid aside the old self. The old self. The sinful nature or the unregenerate nature prior to salvation. Paul is saying that the brethren stripped off the controlling power of sin that was functioning in their sin nature at that time. But in the new nature, as you have been now saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, that old nature has no longer more power over you. And this is what Paul has been saying all the while. He began the very chapter with set your minds on things above. You died. Your life is hitting with Christ. Nothing has any power over you, especially sin. Paul says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to all that horrible stuff it wants to do. It's dead. In other words, it doesn't have the power to tell you to do it. It can't make you do it. In this verse, Paul is saying, here's what really has taken place. You have stripped off the power, laid aside that old self. That man, woman, boy, or girl, whoever you are right now, dear Christian, and if you truly are saved and in Christ Jesus, sin does not rule over you. And here's what Paul is saying. You, by the power of God, has disarmed him. It's almost like some people could say, if one stand before you with a sword, and he has it in his hand ready to do damage, you took the sword out of his arm. To move it up into our day and what's going on today, if someone comes back in front of you with a Uzi, you just strip it out of his hand. You say, no, you're not going to use that. This is what he's saying. The power that sin had over us, it no longer exists. Because he's saying what in this theological truth that he's giving us, he says that old self, when you were converted and brought to Christ, that old self who you were, basically there was something that took place. Its controlling power has no more function over you. The old self, and notice what he says. And he says, you laid aside the old self with all its evil practices. So this is not some kind of theoretical thing you have out there in the mind. And so, oh, I stripped it off. But Paul says it goes to specifics, to real things, to evil practices. And really what we can do, the sins of desire, disunity, and all other wicked characteristics is what he's talking about. The sins mentioned in verse 5. Look at verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Look at verse 8. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech. See, Paul is not talking about some theoreticals. He's talking about what he's already mentioned here, which is a reality in every man, woman, boy, and girl's life in their sinful conditions. And so Paul says, what you've done, you've dealt with it. The fact here is that the believer, due to salvation, has stripped off the old self and all this power. Paul uses the same kind of language in Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Here he affirms that our old self has been crucified with him, that is, with Christ Jesus. When he did that, God's done that, it was gone. When we came to be with those who were in Christ Jesus, he says, now sin don't have any control over us. Sin doesn't rule. And you and I, we didn't think that. We didn't understand that in the beginning, did we? We walked along the road of life. Yeah. But Paul is saying something. He said two things has been removed from us. What he says, the old self. And we have seen this phrase in here time and time again, the old self. And he said that is the person who was and where sin lived and reigned in that person. This was before we got saved. And everything was for me. Everything was what I enjoy. Everything was what I want. You got to understand me. You got to do what I want to do. That's the old self. And Paul says that old self has been laid aside. And he says it as I indicate, you have stripped the power of that old self. Oh yeah, that old self will raise its ugly head here and there, even though we are Christians. But we have to realize it has no power. Amen. The power of sin that resides in our old nature has been destroyed. Now, brethren, this is not something that you and I have to use some kind of theological or even some kind of use in our minds to hope so. You know, some of the things they tell people to do. If you say things over and over again, you know, you're going to begin to believe it. This is not that. This is theological fact. This is fact that has taken place in our body because of salvation. If we don't have that, I don't know what we have. We're just like everybody else with some kind of hope of religion that has no power in it whatsoever. And we live our lives trying to do things and hoping the doing of things would be the very thing that would make us different. No, that is not what Paul is saying. What makes us different is what God has done. And the thing that God has done, that he's made us to be new in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is telling us here what salvation is and what that salvation has accomplished. And he's telling you and me to now realize what has taken place. He says this. That's what we have in fact. Number one. He says, you've laid aside the old self. You've stripped off the power of your old self. That old person who we were and how we lived in the world and every desire we had for our own joy, we went after it. And even some things that would hurt other people, we still went after it. We didn't care because it's what we wanted. That's the nature of sin. That's the sin man or woman that was there unchanged until Christ came. We were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he gives us a second fact here. Notice what he says. Look at verse 10. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And notice what he says. So Paul is not leaving us in a place where, okay, you stripped it off, and now you're almost like you're empty there, and you're kind of hoping that you're going to make through, hoping you can get through. He says, no, you have put on the new self. Put on the new self. The word put on here, it has a meaning. It actually means to put on a garment. Matthew 6 and 25, Jesus telling the people in the Sermon of the Mount not to worry about their needs, not even what you will put on. Or it means to be clothed, as we see in Revelations 1 and 13. When Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, John said he was clothed in a robe reaching to the feet. Or as Paul speaks of the very point in Ephesians 4 and 24, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and of the truth. See, Paul is saying here, two things have been taking place. The first fact, you have put off. The second fact, you have put on. Now, it must be clear that the putting on of the new self was not the work of the brethren. It was the work of God. You and I did not decide to put on a new self. You and I did not make our choice to put on a new self. God saved us. This is a part of God's work himself, putting on the new self. Since their salvation, they have been, by spiritual graces, putting to death the sin of the flesh. Paul can say this of the Colossian brethren. This is what you're doing. You've been putting to death the sin of the flesh and putting on the new self is what he's saying. Paul calls baptism the act of putting on Christ. In Galatians 3 and 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ or with Christ. Wonderful picture there, isn't it? You baptize, and we know what baptism is. What we do with people going in the water here, that's not the real thing that took place. The baptism took place before that in Christ, that Paul even showed us earlier on in this very book here, that what we had done in Christ Jesus. Notice, turn over again to chapter 2. Notice what Paul says, and he says about the whole idea of what has taken place. Verse 9 in chapter 2, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Notice verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Paul is saying here, you, what salvation has done for you, you have been baptized into Christ. And we saw that, meaning that Christ, what he has done that long ago in eternity past. And he has called all his people to himself, knew who he was coming to save. They were in him. When Christ went to the cross, they were in him and went to the cross also. When Christ came out of that grave, that was what we ourselves happened to us, because we were in Christ Jesus. The waterly baptism is just a picture of what has already taken place. And when a person say they believe God has saved them, they're indicating that I believe that I died with Christ from the old man, and I'm a new person who has come up. And here is the show of my life from this point. The old man I put aside, the new man has come out of the water. That's who I am right now. So Paul is showing, and this is the very thing you and I must see and understand. Paul indicates that this is what has taken place. And we find that as we go back here, Paul is saying, here is the very thing. You laid aside the old self with all its practices. You have put on the new self. The new self is what now taken place with you and I. We have now those who are right now living in a different life right now, putting on the new self. Was the work of the brethren. It was the work of God. Not each and every brethren doing that themselves. Since their salvation, they have been, by spiritual graces, putting to death the sins of the flesh and putting on the new self. Paul calls this act of putting on Christ in Galatians 3:27, For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Romans 13 and 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lusts. You see, Paul is saying there's a big change in humanity now, those who are in Christ. And that change is what has taken place. And that change is in process as it goes on. You're putting on. But he goes on. He says, who is being renewed? Now you put on the new self, who is being renewed. That new self, the new you, to whoever you are, the new you is being renewed. There's an ongoing work, the apostle was saying. Being renewed is to make new, quantitatively new, to be renewed completely by God. Ephesians 4:23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, this renewing work is going to take up the whole man, the whole woman, whole boy and girl, the entirety, and God in his spirit is working in it, and things are being done with the person. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that a pretty picture there? Yeah, we're getting older. We're getting weaker. We're getting all kinds of physical problems in it. That outward man is decaying. But what's happening inside? This is what Paul said. Paul said, that don't be looking so much on it. This body going to die. It is going to leave. You see, people go so hard, they would try so hard playing. God got to give me a miracle, like this body here going to live forever and ever and ever. Make it better, make it stronger, so and so. Well, yeah, we do want it to be used in a proper way that we can serve God with it. But some people act like they're going to live forever. It's just the only body they're thinking about. Paul says we should be thinking about the inner man. He is being strengthened. He is what's being growing and becoming newer and newer, who is being renewed. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outward man is being decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. This renewal refers to the redemptive activity of God corresponding to the creation of man, which by putting an end to man's existing corrupt state, established a new beginning. And this is what God done. All that has taken place in the garden when Adam sinned and all the way up to Christ came, that horrible sin and destroying of the human nature, Christ turned it back when he came into the world. And so here, the Apostle Paul saying, you're being renewed. The new self does not decay or grow old. Instead, it is constantly being renewed, being new, made new each day, newer than it was yesterday. That's the whole process. There is a goal and an intended end to this renewal work. And Paul tells us in several places where we can see that. Romans 12 and 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The mind is being renewed. How we think is different because we are new men and women in Christ Jesus. We don't think in an earthly way. Brethren, we think in a biblical way, in a heavenly way. Our mind is on the things of God, not on the things of this earth. Yeah, there are things we need to use here. We have those, but we use everything on this earth for the glory of God, not for the pleasure of ourselves. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you were in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. And we see all that old stuff that was there is gone. It's new. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Do you feel that, dear people? Do you think about that? You see yourself, I'm getting older and things are not the same as it used to be, but oh, I'm vibrant in my spirit, in my soul, in my desire for worshiping God. I seem to grow in that. You know, I want to get up and I want to pray. This old leg don't get up as easy as it used to do, you know. And I can't get on my knees the way I used to do. Well, I got to stand up and pray. Yeah. See, that doesn't stop the inner man, is what Paul said. Though it be in decaying. And we're going to decay because this life, we're going to be decay. We're going to get older and older. I look at some of the pictures we had when we were young. Me and my dear wife, we were standing together. Boy, we look so young, pretty and handsome. Look in the mirror, I said, wow, what happened? Decaying. It's getting older. And that's the fact. But not the inward man. Not us in the soul. We're new. We even been bringing more and more like Christ Jesus each day. When we come here on Sunday to worship God, we're going to leave here, God willing, renewed in our spirits. And that's what we receive here is going to take us through the week. And we're going to see there's going to be a process of growing. And that's what the very truth of about what Paul is saying. And have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. He says to a true knowledge or to a full knowledge, a full understanding. Here Paul is telling the brethren that there is a purpose and an expected goal to their lives. You see, we are not just, as some say, beings, okay, we got saved and we're just going to float through life and wind up in heaven someday, somehow, you know. But no, there's an expected goal, a full knowledge. This knowledge includes the heart and the mind focused upon God's holy will. Romans 12 and 2. And not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Is it coming out of me? Is it coming out of you? Something new inside? Or all do we have only the kinds of conversations which has to do with the world and has to do with maybe I'll be better tomorrow or maybe I'll gain this or gain that or so and so? Or are we thinking in a spiritual aspect what God is doing and how God has caused us to grow and what we see and understand more of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we're drawn closer and closer to other believers, one another, attached to them, loving them, understanding what they're going through, praying for them, knowing what they're going through. Paul says in 5:17 of the book of Ephesians, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and that is to bring us to this full knowledge. The will of the Lord is not to make you happy, make me happy in this world, and to continue to be happy to the day we die. That's not what His will is. It's deeper than that. It's a preparation for heaven. He goes on, according to the image of the one who created him. According to the image of the one who created him. Here's what he's saying here. We said the one, you see that is probably capitalized, the one is God, the one, the image that God who created him. And here he looking and he's saying, what is it that we're looking at? The whole fact is that the standard of the image that the Christian is renewed to is God's image. Image of the one who created him. Just as he created the first Adam in his own image, if we read that in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, he is recreating the new man according to his image. He made Adam after his image and likeness. He's making the new man, woman, boy or girl, after his image and likeness also. He is recreating the new man. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Work is taking place in you, dear people. Work is making you fit for heaven. God is making to you where you and I, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be out of place. We're going to be like everyone else in there. We're going to be holy and righteous because this is what God is doing. Before Adam fell, he was truly in the image of God. Sin infected his soul and poisoned him completely. His sin affected the human race, and everyone born into the world from Adam was separated from God. These words are saying that though salvation, through salvation, sinners are being renewed to a true knowledge. And it says the knowledge of what? Knowledge in the image of the one who created him. A true knowledge of God, who created him, which means the death of Christ has removed the stain of sin from the believer, and there is reconciliation with God for everyone who is truly saved. Therefore, all who are in Christ is no longer associated with Adam. Did you ever think about that? We look back, Adam, our forefather, he was the one who God made, and he sinned, and that's why I'm a sinner right now, because of what Adam done. But when God, Christ came, rose from the dead, we're in Christ, we are not any longer connected to Adam. We're connected to Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone who is outside of Christ is still connected to Adam and still sinning. And their lives continue to sin. That's them, but not the Christian. This is what Paul is saying here. According to the image of the one, being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And that is according to the image of God. You and I are being created just like God. Oh, dear Christian. The Christian is now in the likeness of Jesus Christ. The Christian is a new creature that is actively in a constant path of renewal. The Christian is being formed to the image of God. And he's made more like God. Then he gives a final fact here for us. And that's in verse 11. And it's easier to go through. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. If you read it, it says, a renewal. Remember, we're talking about being renewed. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. The truth of this verse is that there is no distinction of any kind in the body of Christ. All the things that has been created by man because of sin are removed from those in the body of Christ. The list that Paul gives here is the kind of separation that are produced due to sin. The work of salvation removes all of these distinctions, and the church of Jesus Christ becomes a new chosen race in Christ Jesus. He speaks of these different aspects, Greek and Jew, probably meaning national differences, circumcised and uncircumcised, probably pointing to religious differences, barbarian and Scythian, cultural differences, slave and free man, social problems and differences. And people throughout the world, they look at these things. Nation rise up against nation. Nation says, I'm better than that nation over here. Those religions, this religion say this is the best religion. Another one say, no, I am the best religion. And culture, as far as you look at, there are people that look down on other people. And as they say here, might call other people barbarians because they don't come up to the level of culture that I have. And then slave and free. People subjugate people all over the world. That's a social thing. And Paul is saying all of these man-made divisions are created by sin. Those who have saved, are saved from these groups are brought together in the body of Christ, which is the church, and made into one new nation. You see what Paul is saying here? There is none of these distinctions in the body of Christ. The truth is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ and his presence in his people. But Christ is all and in all. How can a church be a true church of Christ if you have different people come into the church and not of the same race or whatever, you know, and they say, well, no, yeah. And you kind of look down on that person. They're not like us. Well, it's a question of whether salvation is really there. If that goes on in any one of our minds, this is the kind of things that we should be putting them aside. That shouldn't be a thing. We should not look at anyone and say there's a difference in us because we have some national differences. But what we should do is say we are one in Christ Jesus. We're connected together. And that is the truth. And this is the only thing that makes us who we are. These are the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us through the Apostle Paul. He's telling us now, realize who we are and what we do. These things that we must think about daily and put into operation, people. These are not things that we have and we heard them and we go on. We should think about them daily, put them into operation. He says here, since you have laid aside the old self, we should think about that. Think in our own walk in life as we're going through. Have I laid aside the old self? And we look back in this chapter, you know, the one who was angry at everybody and speak all kind of nasty stuff, the one who hate this kind of person, that kind of person. Have I laid aside that? Is that gone? Put on the new self. Am I really focused upon who I am in Christ Jesus and seeing that person in me growing and extending more and more and becoming more and more like Christ? Also, our renewal must be a constant reminder of who we are. Become the purpose of our daily living. People have particular jobs or lives, and life they have a particular career. They know who they are. Doctor over here, he knows when he gets up and he knows he's a doctor and what he has to do. It's the same for Christians. We have to know who we are and how we live and that we're going to live each day to the glory of God. Our renewal must be a constant reminder. Our new lives is also displayed in what the true idea of the church is. In this passage, Paul is not talking about individual people. He's talking about connected to the group, to the church. The new creation created in Jesus Christ according to the image of the one who created him. In this renewal, there exists all of Christ's sheep with no distinctions of worship, race or nationality or social status, all are one, united together. This is what Paul is saying. But he says we must aim at a progressive change in our character. Dear people, think about yourself. Christian man, woman, think about yourself. Am I really living to the glory of Christ? Or have I made parlays and made a little bit of a pact with sin? John Owens put it this way: sin and say to us, no, don't push me out. I won't let anybody know that I'm here. And we could do that. Have you done that? Is there some sin you still have not put away? And you're making some kind of a pact with it. Don't come out when everybody's around. Wait till I'm by myself. No, that's not being renewed. That's not putting off the old self. That is pampering the old self of sin. And brethren, it can't be. Paul is saying this is truth. This is theological truth here. And I believe you have to read this over and over again. Not just this one sermon is going to get what you need. Hopefully by God's grace, something has come to mind. Something has pricked your conscience as we've gone through it. But you're going to have to go back to it. You're going to have to read it. And you're going to have to confess in your heart, mind, right now, this is what I want to be before the God of heaven, who knows me, all about me. He sees right inside me right now. He knows my mind. He knows whether I'm actually acting like a Christian or I am truly saved. And then the frightening thing about it, if this is not taking place in us, we need to run to Christ for true salvation. Because this is going to happen to every child of God in different steps and measures. We will be at the same place, but we're going to be going through this very function. Paul is saying this is what it is. But now you also put them all aside. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. Paul is saying, those are Christians, you have actually destroyed the power of the old self. Ask yourself if you've done that. And may God help us through the week, because that's going to be the very ground of where we're going to find out who we are. You walk out of here, you're going to deal with the week. You're going to deal with your family. You're going to deal with your church, or the people on the job with you. You're going to deal with people out in the street. How are you dealing with it? You showing a new creature in Christ Jesus? Or are you just like the other ones out there? Man riding down the road, he cut in front of you. You catch up to him, cut back in front of him. All other things. Somebody say something, you're ready to come back with a sharp remark. Think about it, brethren. It is the reality. This is what we live with. This is not a whole lot of fancy talk. This is real. You and I, if we're going to be with Christ, we're going to be doing what the book says. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, how we thank you, Lord, for giving us the truth and helping us, O Lord God, to put away all the things which will cause us to be, as it were, sloppy men and women of faith. And Lord, the apostle says this is the thing that must be done. And even, God, if we see today that there's some things that have taken hold of us and we are not getting at it, we still have that time to do the work that is here. Understand what is taking place and get into the mood of doing what needs to be done to prove who I am. And Lord, the best, most joyous thing about it is that we are showing to you what you have done in us and how you have changed us, and we want to live to your glory. So Lord, help us and guide us and strengthen us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.